It's the AmeriChips with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Britain's version of Medicare for All is struggling with long waits for care.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. This is Kim Monson with the AmeriChicks, and happy Friday. And it is Good Friday, one of the holiest days of the year. And so wishing you a good day, and of course, happy Easter on Easter morning. So big show planned for you today. As you know, we try to get 2 hours of information into 1 hour, so we are going to jump in here. Offering you a conservatarian perspective, be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my email newsletter so that you know what's going on, upcoming guests, topics, important events. Speaking of important events, we are organizing a rally, May 10th, Stand for Colorado, bringing people of all political stripes together that are concerned about what is going on down at the State House. So go to standforcolorado.com to get all the information, and you can sign up there as well. So as I mentioned, a big show today. We're going to go through some headlines. Our guest in the second segment is Julie Andra and Karen Murray. These are two women that are doing something. They are organizing a recall polis movement, and so it'll be very interesting to chat with them about that. And I have in studio with me a friend, and Rick Turnquest. He is my guest AmeriDude. Welcome for being here today, Rick.
Well, thanks, Kim. It's an honor to be here with you today, and you could have called me an honorary AmeriChick. That would have been fine.
That would have been okay? I didn't know just what you were, how you were identifying this morning.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, that's all. Always a thing, but
yeah, so it's good to have you here. We're going to be talking. You did a really interesting paper on the progressive advantage. You went through and did an analysis of what happened in this last election cycle, and it is fascinating.
Well, thanks. You know, it was since I've been following Colorado politics closely over the last 6 years or so, I've noticed, over time that there's just a universe of progressive organizations out there that they all fulfill different purposes, but they all work together to accomplish the same goal, which is to advance the progressive agenda. And if anybody has any doubts about that, all you have to do is look at the results of the last election and what's been going on in the State House since January. And I can't tell you, May 3rd just can't come soon enough.
And that is when the session is over. So they're taking advantage of every day they possibly can, right?
That's exactly right. In fact, I saw a blog post this morning from Colorado Peak Politics, which said normally the Capitol is closed. The General Assembly is not in session on Good Friday, but the Senate Democrats at least are going to be open for business today. So neither bomb cyclones nor Good Friday can stop the tyranny that's happening in the State House.
Oh, boy. Fasten your seatbelts. The next 2 weeks are going to be really, really interesting. And that is why we are organizing the Stand for Colorado for May 10th. At that particular point in time, we will know everything that has happened. This group is going to have another legislative session next year. They're going to be working on all their policies and things they're going to be pushing forward over the summer. So we want to take a stand and let them know that we're watching, we care, we're concerned. And so go to standforcolorado.com for more information on that. Let's see here. Our inspiration. It's hockey season. So I thought for inspiration today, the great hockey player Wayne Gretzky, he said, Rick, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Okay, and we have a few jokes today, Steve. Are you ready?
You abuse that word. Do you know that?
Okay, and I don't know if I should. I love to say thank you to Zach, to Patty, and to Keith. Depending on your reaction to my jokes, though, I may take that thank you back. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Are you ready? Okay, Steve. What are 400 rabbits hopping backwards?
Do tell.
A receding hairline. Okay, number two. What do you call two bunnies racing down the road? The Fast and Furriest. And where did the Easter Bunny learn to ski? You should know this one. Where did the Easter Bunny learn to ski?
Got to be the Bunny Hill.
You got it.
Actually, Eric Holder probably would have liked that middle one.
Oh, yeah.
Take a look at
that. That's right. That's right. Because he was in charge when they put in Fast and Furious, which was the gun running thing to the Mexican drug cartels.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can always bring everything back to something, Steve. So, okay, let's jump into headlines here. How are we doing on time? Okay. On the state side, actually tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of Columbine. And there's an excellent article out there by Evan that quotes Evan Todd. He's a survivor, and he said that he believes that teachers with guns, you know, trained teachers, and for example, you know Laura Carno, who's doing this FASTER program.
Yes, indeed. I've been through the program.
Oh, you have? Okay. Because in the article, there were people that were saying, you know, we train police officers and all this training, that it would be not a good idea to have school staff and teachers carry. Evan Todd says that, in fact, that would be a great idea. You've been through FASTER. So what do you think, Rick?
Well, I think, evidence tells us that calling a place a gun-free zone just doesn't work. Criminals are not going to obey some artificial distinction. So the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Mm-hmm. And teachers are already willing to put their bodies between bullets and your kids. So why not allow them to have a fighting chance to come out of it alive?
Seems to make sense. And this FASTER program, this is intensive training, from what I understand. And you have to do really, really, really well to actually pass that.
Yes. In fact, it's a 3-day training course. Some of it's classroom work, but most of it's spent on the firing range, and it's taught by active duty police, firearms instructors, and SWAT people, and it's a very intensive course. And you can't pass it unless you know what you're doing. And they teach combat training, night shooting, just basic, not some advanced handgun skills, I would say, and police officers in Colorado have to pass a qualification of 25 rounds. In FASTER, you have to pass 25 plus 2, so we call it 27. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely, not easy. And, I wrote a blog about the whole experience. It's on my website at twoadvancedfreedom.com. Okay. It's titled FASTER Series Parts 1 through 4, and it was also republished in Ammo Land.
Okay, well, excellent. And I happen to agree. I think, and your point is so important, that we have teachers out there, we've seen it at the Parkland shooting, across the spectrum, that they have put themselves between the killers and the students. And so why not give them a fighting chance? Totally agree on that. So number two on the headline, John Caldera over at the Independence Institute has a piece out about how the Colorado legislature has snatched our Trump tax cut. You'll be sure and want to take a look at that at Complete Colorado. In the second segment, this was one of our headlines, but Julie Andra and Karen Murray are the two of the women that are organizing this Recall Polis event. And you read the piece about this, and they are stepping up. So it'll be a great conversation in the second segment. The oil and gas repeal of 181 has hit a snag in the title board. But, in Colorado, Rick, if you put a ballot measure on the ballot, it's supposed to be one subject. Apparently, they had also had some reference to Tabor, and the titling board said that that's two subjects, so they're going back to the drawing board to figure that out. And then the DIA terminal renovation is at least 18 months behind schedule. Apparently, they have some concrete issues out there. So I guess, on the national side, we'll do a soundbite on this, on the Mueller investigation. And I think that, let's just say here, Ocasio-Cortez says cutting military aid to Israel is on the table, and she slams Netanyahu as a Trump-like figure. Let's see here, the press release from the White House, the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, is estimated to support 76,000 additional American auto jobs, billions of dollars in new auto manufacturing investments. And then this is interesting. We need to check this out some more, that Chase Bank, it says, is joining social media giants in shutting down prominent non-leftists. So that is a little concerning as well. But let's jump in here, Steve. Yesterday, the Mueller report came out. That's what happened. The Mueller report came out. And Attorney General Justice Barr, I'm having a morning here. Attorney General Barr had some comments. Let's go to that soundbite.
As you will see, the special counsel's report states that his, quote, investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. I am sure that all Americans share my concern about the efforts of the Russian government to interfere in our presidential election. As the special counsel report makes clear, the Russian government sought to interfere in our election process. But thanks to the special counsel's thorough investigation, we now know that the Russian operatives who perpetrated these schemes did not have the cooperation of President Trump or the Trump campaign, or the knowing assistance of any other American, for that matter. That is something that all Americans can and should be grateful to have confirmed.
Okay, Steve, 22, 24 months, $25 million later, and this is what we have. I wonder when Mueller knew. There was at some point in time where he knew that there was no collusion and let that narrative have legs and run with it. What do you think?
You asked me this earlier, and I said, what if he knew before he even started?
You know, I think that's the case. And the other thing is Mueller, and I keep going back to this. Remember when we had Cheryl Atkinson on? You know, she's the CBS investigative reporter. She was all over Fast and Furious, all over Benghazi.
Yes.
And she was being spied on by the Department of Justice. And I asked her this question because somebody had told me this, that she was sitting at her computer one night, and all of a sudden the cursor started moving without her fingers being on that. And I remember saying to her, weren't you afraid? Weren't you scared? And I think her response was, it made me mad. So then my next question, as I've now named them the three horsemen, that is James Comey with the FBI, James Clapper with National Intelligence, and then John Brennan with the CIA. These guys were all in, you talk about collusion. Those three were in collusion. But anyway, I asked her, so was this under the Comey Department or FBI where you were being spied upon? And she said, no, actually, it was the previous FBI director. And that was, guess who? Robert Mueller. I mean, can you believe this?
Strange bedfellows.
Very strange bedfellows. So yesterday, the news was out that, in fact, there was no collusion by the Trump campaign. I would like to have us move on. I would like Congress to get in gear here and do what they need to do, and that's govern. But you can see the Democrats are not going to let that happen. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with two women who are organizing a recall of Governor Polis. But before we do this, Steve, this could be it. Rick, the Avs lead the Calgary Flames 3-1 in their playoff series. And if the Avs win tonight, they move on in their quest for the Stanley Cup.
Go Avs.
Go Avs. And this story is so amazing. Most of you, or many of you, may not know this, but per Yahoo News, the 20-year-old University of Massachusetts sophomore, Kale McCarr, I think it is, earned the Hobey Baker Award on Friday as the best player in college hockey. But he couldn't rest on his laurels. The Minutemen were in their first ever Frozen Four and reached the NCAA championship game Saturday, failing to Minnesota Duluth 3-0. But McCarr couldn't dwell on the past. The Colorado Avalanche, who had drafted the star defenseman fourth overall in 2017, signed McCarr to a three-year contract Sunday and put him in the lineup Monday night for Game 3 of their Stanley Cup playoffs with the Calgary Flames. And in the first period, I mean, is this not an American story? In the first period at the Pepsi Center, McCarr delivered. His goal made him the first defenseman in NHL history to make his league debut in the playoffs and score a goal. He's just the seventh player ever to accomplish the feat, joining an impressive list of players.
Look out, Wayne Gretzky.
I think it's awesome. So, okay, the Rockies handed it to the Phillies 6-2 yesterday in the first of a four-game homestand. And Hooters Restaurants is my sports headquarters. Hooters is the place to watch all the games. Wednesday is wing day, all the wings you can eat for $14.99. Try their new smoked wings. They are delectable and only half the calories. And Hooters wings can fly. You can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door when the girls come over on Wednesday nights. That's what we do. The girls love them. So order your Hooters wings to go. have them delivered right to your front door, or go to Hooters and watch the game. That could be so much fun. So visit HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the AmeriChicks. This is Kim Munson. We will be right back with our AmeriDude guest host. That is Rick Turnquest, and we'll be talking with and Julie Andra, as well as Karen Murray, regarding their Recall Polis movement. We'll be right back.
All AmeriChicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick and accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financial options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure that you're making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today. 303-888-2732.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect your private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped to organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, so call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
It's Wi-Fi, isn't it?
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, and offering you a conservatarian perspective. Would appreciate it if you would like and follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, and Keith for keeping this train on the track. Greatly appreciate that. Today is Good Friday, and I am going to be doing something very special tonight. A friend of mine, World War II veteran Ralph Whitlock, as many of you know, I also do a show, a World War II project, and I've interviewed over 100 World War II veterans. And Rick, I'll tell you, it's changing my life talking to these guys.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
You know, when I start whining to myself that I have to get up early and come over to the station, it's like, buck up here, honey. You know what? This is nothing. We've got a country that we're fighting for right now, and those guys put it all on the line.
They really did. And you know, hearing their stories is so amazing. And some of the things they went through are just beyond comprehension for our modern coddled society of people.
Absolutely. So tonight, Ralph Whitlock, he was, you know, these guys were in their, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. They're now in their 90s, and he has a beautiful voice. He did a rendition when I interviewed him of Amazing, or I think it was God Bless America, that, you know, just gave me chills. So tonight, though, he is going to be performing the Via Dolorosa at one of the churches here. I'm going to go out to that. If you are interested in more information on that, email me at AmeriChicks.com/Kim, and I'll let you know where that church service is, because Ralph Whitlock, World War II veteran, is going to be singing the Via Dolorosa, and it is going to be powerful. And then before we jump in here, I'm going to go ahead and let you know that James Takata has been doing some amazing work in putting together a website with all of the events where people can go sign all these recall petitions, because it is a high bar on what has to happen to get these signatures for these petitions. And so if you are interested for the weekend's events, let's see, go to coloradanvote.org. That's coloradanvote.org. There's a whole bunch of events there. And if you want to get your event on there, just email them at info@coloradansvote.org. That's info@coloradansvote.org. And he will make sure that he gets that on there for you, which that is such an excellent segue into the two guests that we have on the line with us. And that is Julie Andra, as well as Karen Murray, that they are organizing a movement to recall Governor Polis. Julie and Karen, welcome. Julie, we're going to jump in with you first. Because there was
good morning.
There was an article just recent, I guess yesterday maybe, regarding that it's a pretty high bar to hit. But let's ask you, first of all, why? Why are you doing this?
Well, I mean, I think if we don't do it, who will do it? If it has to be done, we've got a guy who wants to put in a lot of radical agendas that really trample any rights that you may think you have. So it's very, very important that we get him out. And I guess that's where to start, because there's just so many things that he's already done, that he's already passed through, that are just very, very damaging to your constitutional rights, to your Colorado constitutional rights, to your general natural born rights.
Have you been politically active much before this?
Actually, no. This is my first stab at politics. I really just kind of woke up around 2012 when Ron Paul was running for president.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so that's kind of the first, my waking point. I was a lifelong Democrat before then.
Well, and I was saying to Rick, I'm not doing a great job on pronunciations today. How do you pronounce your last name?
Fuentes, Julie Andra Fuentes.
Okay, great. And then let's jump over here with you, Karen Murray. You're also involved in this Recall Polis movement. What brought you to the table on this, Karen?
Well, Kim, thanks for having us this morning. I actually stumbled across the Facebook page by accident. I'm not sure how I got there, if somebody invited me, or if I don't even know what happened on March 9th, but I came across this page. And I started kind of answering some questions, because I know a little bit. This is not my first dive into the political process and government and that kind of thing. And so I found it very fascinating how quickly the numbers were growing. And I was engaging with people on the page, and I was asked by the page admin, by Shane Donnelly, the gentleman who founded the group, if I would like to become a moderator. And from that point, I was getting in on calls, and then I was like, sure, I'll help, you know, and here I am today. So.
Yeah, and that was just March 9th. It's amazing what happens in a month. So, hey, Julie, my understanding is you've got a bunch of followers on your Facebook page.
Oh, well, that's actually Shane's page, and I kind of got into it just like Karen, where, you know, you just were asked to write it in, and then suddenly here we are. But yeah, we have about 37,000, I think a little over, right, Karen?
Yes.
Wow. That.
But mind you, March 9th, that number was about 2,000.
Wow. Okay, so this is a tall order, though. From what I understand, I mean, this is really a David and Goliath kind of a fight. So, Karen, what's the strategy? Because to get the signatures that you need to get this on the ballot, I mean, that's a pretty tall order.
It is, and our attorney has advised us to overshoot this number that we need of 631,266, to overshoot that number by 30%. So, you know, doing any kind of math, we're right around 800,000 votes or signatures. So it's, it is a tall order. But you know what, Kim? We have literally hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that are committed to this around the state. And, you know, they have committed to, the way that I'm, the analogy that I'm using right now is that we're kind of idling our engines right now. We're in the mobilization phases. We're in the building phases right now. We're building our numbers on Facebook. We introduced our website just a few days ago. We're collecting contributions. We're kind of just chill, and we're trying to meet people and greet people and do all those things. And then as we approach the time where this is going to be, you know, the petition's going to be filed for and that kind of thing, you know, the engine's going to be revving a little bit. And by the time we get those petitions in our hands and printed – and ready for circulation, the tires are going to be smoking because we're on a 60-day clock at that point.
Okay, now, quickly, Julie, explain this to me. I thought that people were signing that petition right now. What is it that people are signing right now?
A lot of people are signing the National Popular Vote petition right now.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm with you. Okay. So you do not have your petitions out yet. So you are just in preparation mode. And then, Karen, as you just said, you're collecting all this information, and then it'll be pedal to the metal because you have 60 days then. You're telling me you have 60 days to get signatures for almost 900,000 people here in Colorado. Am I hearing you correctly?
You're hearing us correctly.
Rick, you talk about two women that... Ladies, I guess I need to let you go because you have lots to do, don't you? So if people want more information, Julie, where do they go?
We go to the website, officialrecallpolis.com. That's going to give you a wealth of information, and we're updating it every day with any new events in the areas across Colorado, as well as, you know, when those signings will take place and where they will take place. We have to apply for the petition on July 8th. And if it gets denied, our window gets shorter. So we really don't necessarily have a full 50 days. So we really just have to have everyone on board, ready to go when the paper's ready to sign.
And one other thing, I think people are a little confused, Karen, if you could address this. I think people are a little confused because I think is there something else out there also regarding a Polis recall?
There is, and we're really not at liberty to say a whole bunch about it. We are only at liberty to tell you that we are who we are and that we will be the ones filing the petition.
Okay.
Anything else that you see out there, we have on Facebook, we have a state page, and we have 64 county pages, all bearing a similar name of, all in caps, Recall Polis - Douglas County, for example. So those are all our pages, all 64 of those. And then we have a Friends of Recall Polis that is for out-of-state people. And then we have our state page, which is facebook.com/ The People of Colorado.
Okay.
So that's how you can find. So all 66 of those pages are ours.
Okay.
Anything else you see does not belong to us.
Okay. Rick, you had a question?
Yeah. Can you tell us what your website is so people can avoid confusion when they're looking for you?
The website is www.officialrecallpolis.com.
Awesome. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. And ladies, thank you. So I've learned a lot on this. So basically what I see is you guys are, you're the pilots of a jet. The passengers are on there. You're revving the engines, you know, and you know how the plane's kind of moving forward, you know, pushing against the brakes on that. And so you want everybody on board. So when you take the brakes off, that you are ready to take off, right?
Absolutely.
Yes,
okay, so again, that is www.officialrecallpolis.com for more information. So, Juliandra and Karen Murray, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And keep us informed on what's going on with that. I know that people are really interested about that.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, thanks so much. And we're going to go to Jason McBride here in just a minute. I know that the phone lines have been jammed up just a little bit, so Jason McBride will be calling in here in just a moment. But, Rick, I mean, 900,000. I mean, isn't there only like 5.5 million people in Colorado?
Yeah, that's a pretty high number that they're going to have to reach. But I think the important thing is to tell Governor Polis and the progressive infrastructure and the establishment in Colorado that we're not going to take their terrible bills without a fight.
Well, and that's another reason why we're doing Stand for Colorado. You know, typically, people that are just living their lives, they're working on their jobs, taking their families, they don't have time nor the desire to go down to the Capitol to do a rally, and it's very difficult to go down, you know, at noon on Wednesday. So that's why we are planning this a week after the session is over. We're going to know all the bad stuff that is through there. That is also the same day that Governor Polis will be giving his State of the State address. And so we thought that would be a good day to do that. And so join us. I know people say, oh, you know, rush hour traffic, you're going to start at 4. And it's like, you know, I've interviewed over 100 World War II veterans, and let's do a little planning and not worry about a rush hour traffic and get down there and take a stand for Colorado.
And that's a great point, because the fact of the matter is, you know, when the leftists have their rallies at the Capitol, you know, people show up. It may not be hundreds like some claim, but it's usually a fair number. And our side needs to start doing the same. We need to show, you know, that we're out there, that we're paying attention, and we're not going to, you know, fade quietly into the night.
That's for sure. So that's going to be on May 10th down at the Capitol. There will be concurrent ones, one on the steps of the old courthouse in Grand Junction, and then at IOOF Park in Gunnison as well. But I want to get to you, as you know, we're going to go to break here in just a minute, but I got to just ask Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. You know, we had the Mueller report yesterday, and I wonder what the markets did. So Jason McBride, how you doing this morning?
I am more awake this morning than I have been for months.
Because why?
Well, I started reading the Mueller report yesterday, and there was so little in there that was new, and it was so boring that it put me to sleep, and I've been sleeping ever since.
So you got a good night's sleep. Is that what you're saying, because it was so boring?
I did. You know, I'm convinced that most of the media and most of the Democrats have had this report for, there was nothing new in there, nothing.
Well, and I asked Steve this, Jason, but, you know, this was 22, 24 months, $25
right.
million. Dollars. I think we need to ask, when did Mueller know what he knew? You know, when did he find out?
Well, there's been talk that he knew very well and was done with this before the midterm elections and held it. I guess that'll be a speculation or conspiracy theory for a while. But, it's hard to read 400 pages and I couldn't find anything really groundbreaking or new in there. All we got was excruciating detail on all the stuff that was already out there. The only shocking revelations were that Trump said a cuss word. I mean, that
well,
almost floored
not surprising.
Me. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And he asked his aides if they could find Hillary's missing emails. That was a tremendous shock. If I was the president, I'd be asking somebody to try to find those too.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think the markets are going to be doing today? Oh, I guess the markets are closed today for Good Friday, aren't they?
Yeah, they are closed. You know, as far as the market's reaction to all of this, I would describe the distance between the current levels of the market and the highs of the market as the same way I describe the collective intelligence of the liberal media, and that would be very, very small.
Ouch. Oh, Jason McBride. So, hey, if you would like to have more conversations with Jason McBride one-on-one and have him take a look at your nest egg, because I know you'd be happy to do that with folks, they can reach you via we have a landing page, chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com. Has our picture on there, Jason. You look great.
Oh, you look better.
Oh, that was a setup, wasn't it, Rick? Okay. So, Jason, and the phone number over there, although you guys are not in the office today because it is Good Friday and the markets are closed, but that phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And then also on that landing page, you do a weekly blog. Podcast. Yeah, and so that's on there as well. You always have a lot of great information there also.
Yes, there's about, I think we have 23, 24 episodes on there now, so good info there. Got a lot of good info on the whole side, I think, so thanks for pointing that out, Kim.
Well, for sure, and wishing you and your family a very happy Easter, Jason McBride. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You as well, Kim. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We're going to go to break. I can't wait. It's like, you know, we were talking with the girls about having the brakes on and getting into the recall there. I want to get into this conversation with this piece that you did regarding the Progressive Advantage, because it really makes a lot of sense. I'm talking with Rick Turnquist. He is a blogger. His blog is toadvancefreedom.com, and we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best with well-priced, made-to-measure clothes that fit a busy lady's lifestyle. Gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at Americhicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim@Americhicks.com. Social media is important to the Americhicks, since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at Americhicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the Americhicks radio show. Contact us at Americhicks.com or email Kim@Americhicks.com.
Welcome back to the Americhicks with Kim Munson, where we're dissecting issues, news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree? Let's have a conversation. So be sure and check out my website, Americhicks.com. Sign up for my emails at Americhicks.com/Kim. We will keep you apprised of the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. And like me on Facebook and Twitter, and offering a conservatarian perspective. We're going to jump in here with my guest, AmeriDude. That is Rick Turnquist, a good friend.
Hi, good morning, Kim. Thanks so much for having me on your show today. This is actually a lot of fun co-hosting with you.
Well, absolutely. It's great to have you here. And you've written a very important piece called The Progressive Advantage. Mm-hmm. And this is on your website. Let's see. That is toadvancefreedom.com. And it's you really took a look at what happened this last election cycle here in Colorado.
Yeah, so I've been following Colorado politics quite closely for several years now, since the 2013 legislative session, which was the last time Democrats had one-party control, and watched some of the terrible bills that went through that year, none of which have proven to do what they were supposed to do. But over the years, I've been watching, and I've been active on the co-politics hashtag on Twitter, and that's really the mosh pit of what goes on in Colorado politics. Legislators, journalists, activists of all stripes are active in there, pretty much throughout the day. And if you ever want to know what's going on under the Capitol Dome, that's the good place to go. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching and observing as I see these groups that are all out there, and they're all working together to achieve the progressive agenda. And I put together a presentation for a meeting of activists that I attended last November after the election. And because we ran out of time, I didn't get a chance to present it. And I kind of just left it, sitting on my desk for a few months. And then I dusted it off and decided to publish it as a blog post. And it's gotten a lot of reaction. I've been on the radio a couple times already to talk about it. So, basically, I'm going to read a little bit here to kind of put it in place. We conservative libertarians do not have a permanent campaign infrastructure in place. Yes, we have the Independence Institute, the Leadership Program of the Rockies, of which Kim and I are both alum, the Centennial Institute, and Americans for Prosperity. But the Democrats have an entire universe of organizations that fulfill various functions yet work together to ensure that the progressive agenda advances no matter what. Electorally speaking, it's like a dogfight between Sopwith Camels and F-15s. It's just not a fair fight. Right. The progressive infrastructure includes organizations, many of them are 501c3s and c4s, to perform the following functions. Fundraising and moving dark money, though they pretend to be against dark money. Right. Rabble-rousing, silencing the opposition, and boots-on-the-ground activism. Think tanks to provide intellectual support and move the Overton window. Organizations to recruit and train progressive candidates for office. Organizations to register voters and get out the vote, including ballot harvesting. Organizations to promote their various policy goals with regard to taxation, the environment, social programs, income redistribution, and the like. And then I have a PowerPoint in my blog post, and it's toadvancefreedom.com, toadvancefreedom.com, the progressive advantage. And in this PowerPoint, I list, a dozen or so of these leftist organizations, and I'm not going to name them on the air because I don't want to give them the recognition, but I identify what the organizations are in general, who's running them. If I know who's funding them or I can speculate who's funding them, I do that. And I identify what function they fulfill in the progressive infrastructure. And then if there's an equivalent on the center right, I identify that. And for most of these, there's no equivalent on the center right.
Well, the other thing about this, you're mentioning 501c3 or threes and fours. And what I've seen, that there are a lot of these progressive, and people say, don't call them progressive, it's regressive, and it is, because it's moving back to, basically lords and the bourgeois, if you will. But they have figured out a way to be a nonprofit and get government grants, so other people's money, that then they put forward their agenda, but yet you're seeing them over here influencing elections. And once again, that is putting fuel in the fighter of the F-15. I mean, it's astounding how they have figured out how to use that.
Well, and they've really mastered the art of money in politics. And, you know, we see that through, you know, program or organizations like Planned Parenthood, which receives federal
dollars. $500 million.
Yeah. And, you know, teachers and unions, for example, mm-hmm. unions just funnel, you know, take money from workers and funnel it through the union and give to Democrat politicians. And,
right.
And so.
So when we say we want to pay our teachers more, yeah, you know, in essence, if the union can get into forced, you know, having the union in a school district, forcing everybody to be part of that, then, you know, the taxpayer pays teachers more, they pay the union, and then the circle just continues.
Right, yeah, it's actually legal money laundering, it is what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it's interesting, there's a bill that's flying under the radar this session because there's just so many bad bills out there to fight, but there's a bill out there to allow collective bargaining for state government employees, which is essentially creating a state government employees union, which is, you know, public sector unions. Even FDR was against
right.
public sector unions.
And he was the brain, you know, the progressive movement was his brainchild almost. Well, not totally, I guess. I guess it was Woodrow Wilson and
yeah,
before that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it started, you know, after the Civil War with the rise of the, I forget the name of the movement, but, you know, progressive movement's been around for over a century you know, I don't agree with their policy goals, I will give them kudos for being effective because they pretty much own our culture and they're pushing Colorado in a direction that a significant number of Coloradans don't approve of and don't want to be part of.
You know, Rick, you know, I think I'll just put this out there and we'll come back to it. You know, America has been very concerned with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the new Green Deal. And I've seen you know, politicians on the right, people on the right, you know, mock her, you know, and, you know, be somewhat disparaging towards her. I think we need to take her very seriously. And I think that she is a formidable opponent. I actually think that there are people behind her kind of pulling the strings, but she's an effective face for them because she's young, so she appeals to young people. She's attractive. And she's very passionate about what she's doing. So we need to take her seriously. But while people are saying, oh, the new Green Deal, that's a, you know, as I look at what's happening down at the Golden Dome, the new Green Deal is being implemented under our noses right here in Colorado.
Well, and, you know, you make a good point about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC, as everybody calls her. You know, she is, you know, 2 years ago, nobody had ever heard of her, and now she's, you know, the face of the Democratic Party. And she's, you know, she's everything you said. You know, she's, you know, she's attractive. She has a large following, and people, you know, listen to her and give her a lot of weight to what she says. And I think we do need to take people like her seriously because they are, because progressivism in essence boils down to emotion. It's not an intellectual movement, it's an emotional movement. And it really, you know, it's because life is hard and you know, progressives want government to be their mommy and daddy, their confessor, their best friend, their teddy bear, mm-hmm. you know, instead of being the self-reliant people that built this country or the self-reliant people who fought and won World War II. And you know, it's really unfortunate that people want something that should exist, that should exist solely to protect life, liberty, and property, that they want it to be so many more things. And they're willing to do anything to make it happen. For example, this family bill that's in the Senate right now, which would create an insurance program for everybody, every worker in the state would be paying a tax into this insurance program.
But they call it a premium.
Well, they call it a premium because they have to evade Tabor.
Right.
Under Tabor, a tax increase has to be voted on by the people. But if they call it an enterprise and charge a premium, then they theoretically can avoid that requirement. And they know, you know, when Colorado votes on tax return or tax increases, they always vote no.
Typically, yeah, they vote no. There's so much here. I think we're going to have you back because we are going to only have one more segment on this. But Tabor, The Taxpayer Bill of Rights, just so you know, basically it's about good manners. It's about consent. It is an amendment in the Colorado Constitution that says to government, hey, if you want to raise our taxes, you just have to ask us first. And B, if after a generous formula of population plus inflation, you want to keep that excess revenue, you just have to ask us first. And it's disingenuous when they do these runarounds. But this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks, and I am talking with Rick Turnquest regarding this very important piece that he did, The Progressive Advantage. You can find it at toadvancedfreedom.com. We're going to go to break on our final segment with Rick Turnquest.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for next year's tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Come join the 88 Drive-In this weekend to celebrate our 43rd season. We're open Thursday through Sunday. Admission is only $9 per person, and children under 12 are free. Starting Friday, this week's features will include Shazam, Isn't It Romantic, and Us. And remember our popular Thursday pizza special. Get one 12-inch pizza served fresh and hot from our oven and two tall, cool 16-ounce sodas, all for only $12. For more information, go to our Facebook page or visit our website at 88drivein.net.
You get more out of life when you go out to a movie.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. And coming soon, Vino and Veritas in Northern Colorado. Know why you believe what you believe and be able to have conversations with friends, family, and colleagues. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson would like to thank Bullets Both Ways in Centennial and Otto Fireguard in Castle Rock for sponsoring this fascinating study of the U.S. Constitution. Sign up today at AmeriChicks.com.
Rick Turnquest, I never know what Charlie and Steve are going to have in the bumper music. That is... That one caught me by surprise, Steve. Caught you by surprise, too, didn't it?
I like the Alley Cat earlier. I haven't heard that in eons.
I haven't heard that in eons either. That is just great. So, and, you know, you don't laugh at my jokes, Steve, but I have to let you know, Rick said you have a great radio voice. So don't let it go to your head.
Just so you know, my uncle used to say this all the time, I'm laughing on the inside.
Okay, let's get serious here. Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we are dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, we need to be having these conversations. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com, offering you a conservatarian perspective. We're having a conversation with Rick Turnquest. He has gone in and he has really analyzed the progressive advantage, what happened to Colorado in this last election cycle. And it didn't just happen in 1 year. I mean, this has been a plan. They are playing long ball, Rick Turnquest.
And that's exactly right. So in my blog post, I reference a book called The Blueprint, which is the full title of the book is The Blueprint, How the Democrats Won Colorado and Why Republicans Everywhere Should Care. And this book was written by a former state representative and a reporter, a couple gentlemen named Adam Schrager and Rob Whitwer. And it basically runs through the early 2000s when the Gang of Four was formed, and they created a plan, a blueprint, if you will, to turn Colorado blue. And they were very successful. And our current governor, Jared Polis, was one of the members of this Gang of Four. The four people, you know, named in that group are Jared Polis, Pat Stryker, who's a billionaire that lives up in Fort Collins.
The Stryker Medical Devices.
Stryker Medical.
She's the heiress of that.
Yep, along with her brother, who's also an heir of that fortune. Gil Stryker, Rutt Bridges, who's the father of current state senator Jeff Bridges. And then who am I missing? Tim Gill.
Yeah, Tim Gill.
And of the Gill Foundation. So the four of them, you know, along with other people, including Alice Madden, Al Yates, mm-hmm. you know, some Ted Trimpa, they got together. They formed what was called the Colorado Democracy Alliance.
Ken Salazar.
Yeah.
He was mm-hmm. involved. And Al Yates was the former president of CSU.
CSU, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people think of CU Boulder as this hugely liberal, progressive.
CSU is actually, I think, more liberal.
Yeah, I think CSU is quite a bit more.
And I know that because I paid two kids' tuitions through CSU.
Right, right. And I know several people who went there. But, you know, they formed this group and they created this infrastructure. And every element of it is calculated to do one thing, and that's to advance the progressive agenda. They don't focus on policy things. They focus on winning elections.
I think that's what you said, that nugget regarding progressivism is emotional. I think that was one of the nuggets that you had in that last segment. And I hadn't really thought about it like that. But it's not policy. It's not really issues. It's emotion.
Yeah. And they base their appeal on emotion. Like if you look at their bills, like let's take family, for example. I fought against it last year. The Family and Medical Leave Insurance Bill, SB 188. You know, all the proponents, you know, bring up these people and they tell their stories, and some of them are really heart-wrenching, Kim, mm-hmm. and they're just terrible. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, I think everybody that lives on the planet today has a hard luck story they can mm-hmm. tell. I know mm-hmm. I certainly do. At no time, you know, when I was going through my difficult period, did I expect the government to take money from my fellow citizens and give it to me
right.
to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. It just didn't even cross my mind. Mm-hmm. And so their appeal is largely to emotion, and when you challenge them with facts and reason, you know, their arguments fall apart. But people vote based on emotion. They don't vote based on facts and reason. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so when you try to argue with facts and reason, you know,
it's not effective, is it?
It just isn't effective. And so, you know, you I think we conservative libertarians or conservatarians, mm-hmm. I like that word. We need to work on how we can frame our arguments in such a way that appeals to people in their emotional center mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of their intellectual center. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so in the blueprint, they talk about how they formed all these groups and they, you know, they have very specific functions. And I'll mention one because the Bell Policy Center is, you know, kind of the intellectual heavyweight behind a lot of the progressive legislation right. that's going through the Capitol. And last year they had actually written a white paper called A Guide to Economic Mobility. And this white paper was actually the source of several bills that were going through the legislature mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. And some of them were implemented, some of them weren't, because we still had a Senate majority back mm-hmm. then. But mm-hmm.
And if we haven't seen them this session, we're probably going to see them next session.
Yeah, that's quite likely. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, I think they're trying to get their extreme agenda through this session because next year is an election year. So they probably won't be quite as bad as they are this year. But this year has been a nightmare. You know, to recap, we have the national popular vote. We have the red flag law. We have
sex education.
Vaccinations was a big
gas,
one.
Shutting down oil and gas.
Yep.
The list goes on. That's what we should have.
Right. And then, so on my blog, I link to the Rocky Mountain or the blueprint. And then there's also a short movie called The Rocky Mountain Heist, which is basically tells the same story. But it's in a YouTube video, and so one of the things that they have in as an advantage is money. And last election cycle, Democrat candidates outraised Republican candidates by a huge margin. And you know, as of September 17th, 2018, there was a graphic on the Colorado Secretary of State website. And just for people who don't know, all political
bless you.
All political committees and candidates have to file with the Secretary of State and report the money received and the money paid out. And that's in a database on a website called Tracer. So last September on Tracer, there's a graphic that said Democratic candidates, and this is for all offices in the state, had raised $27 million compared to, get this, Kim, $5.5 million for Republican candidates.
Wow.
That's a 5-to-1 margin. And by the time election day rolled around, I didn't save the graphic, but my memory is that it was an even worse advantage. And for the Colorado General Assembly, candidates for office raised over $11 million altogether. And of that $11 million, $8 million of it was raised by Democratic candidates. So I've got a new blog post coming out over the weekend called The Progressive Advantage Part 2, Money, in which I break down, you know, a look at these campaign finances for the General Assembly as a whole, but then also I look at the at five House districts, including four that flipped to give the Democrats a near supermajority in the House, as well as the Senate, where they flipped two seats to take a 19-16 majority.
Well, fascinating. Rick Turnquest, we're going to have you back because we are just about out of time. But one other thing, my when you look at the amount on the Dem versus Republican, Polis put in $24 million of his own money.
And I'm not even counting that. This is just candidates for the General Assembly. I'm not even looking at governor. That's way more.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'll probably do that in at a later date. But this is just the General Assembly.
So when is this blog going to be out?
I'll be publishing it tomorrow, Saturday.
Okay, and that will be on to advancefreedom.com, to advancefreedom.com. Rick Turnquest, thank you so much for being in studio. And this was your first in studio debut.
That's right. It was my first time in studio. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today, Kim.
It's great having you here. So, okay, wishing you a very happy Easter. Our quote for today, hockey, you know, it's hockey playoffs. The great hockey player Bobby Orr, he says, "You don't win by being good. You win with hard work and sacrifice. Without that, skill is just potential." That is Bobby Orr. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.